Election 2024 on News Talk.
Now joining us also is political editor for News Talk, Sean Defoe. Sean, maybe you bring us up to speed on what's been happening this morning.
Yes, well, we're only going to get count centres opening around now and then some more at 10 o'clock. So the likes of Wicklow, Wexford and others have started counting just in the last few minutes and getting back underway. And then hopefully those counts are going to come thick and fast and we'll get a good idea of where things are. Only 41 TDs elected at the minute. First counts in 41 of the constituencies. Kildare North is still yet to return one, and one other one in Cavan Monaghan is yet to return a first count as well. So we're waiting on those. I think we have six constituencies that have finished, most of them three seats, and then the four-seater of Dunleary. And the state of play at the moment is 11 seats for Fine Gael, 11 Fianna Fáil, 8 Sinn Féin, 5 independents and 3 independent Ireland, and then a smattering among the smaller parties.
And what are we looking out for early doors when they do open at 10?
So there's some, like, I've been trying to do the projections of where things are going to go, and by my count there are only 20 seats that are genuinely still in play and have question marks over them. I think there's 154 that we can pretty well ascribe at the moment, and based on those projections, Fianna Fáil is going to clearly be the largest party, at least 45 seats, Fine Gael 37 that we're happy to call, and Sinn Féin 38, Labour and the Sock Dems both 7, 13 independents, that will go up. There are independents in the battles for 4th and 5th seats, and 4 for Independent Ireland, with the possibility of a 5th in Michael Clark, 2 for Solidarity, People Before Profit, a couple more of those in place. So some of the ones that I'm watching that are genuinely very, very difficult to call, I mean, Dublin South Central is an absolute crapshoot at the minute. There's 8 candidates in play. Most likely, I think, a second Sinn Féin seat to go with Angus O'Snoddy. And then, I mean, you could talk about People Before Profit being in play. There's potentially a government seat through Fianna Fáil's Catherine Arda, if things go her way, and a number of other people in the running too. The 5th seat in Mayo, a bit of flux at the minute. It looks as though Fine Gael will take 2 there. Lisa Chambers versus Patsy O'Brien seems to be the way it would go. On balance, you'd probably give it to Patsy, but look, a lot of counts to go there. 4th seat in Wicklow is one a lot of people are going to be watching. Stephen Donnelly, the health minister, in quite a bit of bother. He is waiting on a transfer of surpluses from Simon Harris. There's about 6,000 surpluses. And so the question is, does he benefit somewhat geographically because he's there in Greystones? Jennifer Whitmore is still in the count, so that Greystones transfer will be split. And how much does Harris help his own running mate, Edward Timmins, versus Shay Cullen, the former Fine Gael councillor who went to the selection convention, didn't win that convention, but is in the field and is narrowly ahead of Timmins at the minute.
And he's an independent.
He's an independent now, former Fine Gael, but there, you know, does that vote split and how do those transfers go? Harris, I think, will manage the transfer very, very well there. He's been trying to take into it, would be his cherry on top. He's trying to have a Bertie moment from, you know, yesteryear and drag Edward Timmins over the line.
One of the constituencies we promised to look at when we came back after the break was Dublin Central. So, Kevin, did you want to take us through the figures of what's happening there?
I've been trying to do the maths and then I'll let Francis and Bertie call it. But at the moment, it's really, so what happened last night is the voting stopped at the point where Malachy Steenson, the anti-immigration right-wing candidate, was eliminated. So he's out and there are 2,195 votes, just over 2,000 votes of his, that are going to be redistributed. And this is pretty key because at the moment, Gerry Hutch is 816 votes ahead of Labour's Marie Sherlock. So when Malachy Steenson's and talking to people out in the RDS, perceived wisdom is that around 1,000 of his votes will go straight to Gerry Hutch. Mm. So that will put him 1,800 or so votes ahead of Marie Sherlock. And she will then have to chase that down when Nessa Hurricane of the Green Party and Mary Fitzpatrick of Fianna Fáil are put out. They have between them 4,800 votes. So she needs to get about 2,000 out of that pot of 4,800. And that is, I think, a pretty tall order.
Well, there's only one man we can ask about Dublin Central. Bertie, what do you mean?
Yeah, well, early yesterday when I saw the figures, I said then, and that was about 3 o'clock yesterday when I saw the tallies, or before 3, I said when Steenson goes out, it will be the calling of this. And that's where I am this morning. I agree with Kevin. I think Steenson is born and reared in North Strand. You know, for people around the country listening, the Hutch Steenson areas all around Croke Park. As you make your way to Croke Park, up from the railway station, that's the territory of Steenson and the territory of Jerry Hutch. So unless my name is something else, there will be a very good transfer from Steenson.
So you think he'll get the vast majority of that?
So it will be very hard
to catch him.
Possible, but if I was to call it, I think Jerry Hutch will get the seat.
Bertie, what do you think that says about Irish politics and that constituency? I don't know if you heard the comments of Gary Gannon yesterday, who said that, you know, his election was probably a product of massive underinvestment and attention paid to that constituency over decades, and something that your own former party colleague Conor Lenihan also said.
Yeah, well, I think both of them are wrong. Both of them are friends of mine. And well done to Gary Gannon, because he's worked hard in the constituency. And needless to say, Conor is a colleague. No, I thought both of them were talking nonsense, to be straight about it. Jerry Hutch has been around for as long as myself. And Jerry Hutch is well known. The Hutch family are well known. And I'm not going to get into any morals or any ethics, but I've trampled that ground for 40 years. And Jerry Hutch has been kind to that community in lots of indirect ways. His family are well known. And if you like it or not, respected by a lot of those people. That's why he got 3,000 votes. A lot of the people, and I've met people, older people, who voted Jerry Hutch. They weren't all, you know, trained that these were all kids. And, you know, when you do things down the years, down the decades, grandma knows, ma knows, and the kids know. So Jerry Hutch's thing that it was all about deprivation and all of that.
But he's a criminal. He's, you know, he's a career criminal.
Yeah, but if you, and he listen, when I was on the hustings and the guards were with me and minded me with his T-shirt, you know, Jerry would talk to them. They all knew him. He knew them. But that's the 3,000 people went out and voted for him. They know him. They transfer him. Yesterday, when Mary Lou's running mate went out, yeah, the highest amount of transfers went to Jerry Hutch, even though all the things that Mary Lou has sent against Jerry Hutch. So we can be all the self-righteous things we want. And people will say that, and unfortunately the international media are picking into that.
I was going to say, Bertie, when we talked about this being, inverted commas, a boring election of sorts, but the global press, the story from Ireland is not going to be that the centre is held, not that there has been no infiltration of the far right. All those things that we're seeing happening across, Francis referenced earlier, in Europe and democracy, they're not the headlines anywhere in Europe. The headline across the world is going to be that Ireland elected the head of an international crime organisation.
Which is absolutely shocking. And I think for most people on the sort of outside of that constituency, Bertie, are absolutely kind of both horrified, bemused and questioning as to how this can happen. And you absolutely have to know the total local connections that he has. And that seems to be the reality, that whatever he did in the constituency over decades, there is enough favours to be called in that people will vote. But I want to make a point about investment in that constituency. And I think, Bertie, you probably agree with me. Do you remember Enda Kenny and Pascal Donoghue and the investment? I'm not saying there isn't still huge need, but the investment that went into that constituency after the Regency and so on. I was a minister at the time and I remember going to meetings, and the amount of effort that was made to put extra resources in there and build the youth services, build, you know, the clubs, do all of the work that was needed. And Gary may be right that there's far more still needed, but it was to be a model of how you would work with communities that were disadvantaged and needed more services. And so, I mean, there has been a lot of input into that constituency, and Pascal was central to that. Mm. And you can see that from the, you know, if you like, Fine Gael in that area, despite the challenges, have held up extremely well.
Yeah, I think it should be said. That's true, Francis. Everything you said is true. But Charlie Haughey and Gard Fitzgerald didn't agree in a lot. But in their respective times, back that far, both of them gave priority to that area. And if you take the area where Jerry Hutch got most of his vote, and this is why and I take exception to Gary Gannon's. The Marlborough Street School was rebuilt in my time. And in fact, the Minister of Education was Niamh Bratnagh from
the Labour Party. Yeah.
But that school was built in Marlborough Street. The school on stilts, as it's known locally, was the most expensive primary school in Ireland, Rutland Street. Garner Street was rebuilt. Larkin College was rebuilt. The National College of Ireland, which Dennis O'Brien chaired for many years, was to help the
community.
Fantastic
college.
So there's a huge amount of resources put into the area. So that's why the deprivation line of both Conor Lenehan yesterday and Gary is just wrong. But I know people will listen to me and say, you know, is Bertie saying that things that Jerry Hutchinson, were they right or wrong? I'm not into them. I'm just trying to give
why
it is.
We do need to explain it because the consequences of Kevin has said are so serious.
But why it is that, like, I went to endless functions. I don't want to mention any of the years. Endless functions over many, many, many years. And the sponsor of this, that and the other was given by A.N. Other. Now, I know and everyone else knew who A.N. Other. So that was the reason. And that wasn't this year or last year. That's over a long number of years.
Sean, do you think that actually when Jerry Hutch came into this campaign and he got so much traction, he's actually seen as a sort of quasi-celebrity candidate.
Mm. Yeah, and probably the only one of the celebrity candidates who's actually going to get elected in this election after what we saw with Gráinne Shoga and Alison Cumann. It's interesting. I wonder what he wants out of it is where, you know...
Maybe it's a case of be careful what you wish for. Maybe he didn't think he was going to actually
get elected. Get there and want to be the protest vote.
I'd say so.
Yeah. So, like, I would be very interested to see Jerry Hutch, the politician, as the, you know, in the Dáil. How does he contribute? What's he like on an Oireachtas committee? I'd say that life.
Security in Dáil Éireann.
Oh, God.
He'd probably just do more of what he was doing already, according to Bertie, you know?
Yeah.
Really focus on.
Look, let's maybe look at one or two of the other constituencies. We have a question in from a listener. How do you see Galway East ending up? Anyone on the panel, any views on that?
Yeah, Galway East actually looks as though it's going to be a relatively simple one in the end. So we have Sean Canny has already been elected there. He has topped the poll. Albert Dolan is the big story there out of Fianna Fáil. Young guy, 26 years old, Cahirlach of Galway Council, but he's no longer going to be Cahirlach because he's going to get elected to the Dáil.
And he's a rising star.
Yeah.
There's been for 5-6 years. He's been seen as a rising star.
Yeah, people have been saying, watch this guy. I've been saying it the whole time that this guy's a TD, he's a future minister. And he's unseated Anne Rabbitt in the process. So she's going to lose her seat, the disabilities minister. Interesting, I suppose, is the final seat, because Fine Gael were targeting two here. They genuinely thought that was a possibility going into it. They may come away with none because Louis O'Hara of Sinn Féin, another kind of young gun, did very well in 2020. Mary Lou McDonald was really pushing him throughout the campaign, literally brought him up to front and centre of the doorstep when they had their think-in down in the Grand Canal a couple of weeks ago. But Declan Geraghty of Independent Ireland, and remember there was a big question over who Independent Ireland would have here. Was it going to be Michael Fitzmaurice? Was he going to move with some of that Galway territory that came back into the constituency? He decided not to, has been comfortably re-elected in Roscommon Galway, but his surrogate Declan Geraghty is doing quite well. He's in fourth place at the minute. Now Pete Roach of Fine Gael is in fifth. He does have two candidates to wrap up in Niamh Madden and Clodagh Higgins, so you would say probably advantage to him in that, but there is a bit of a scrap for the final seat. I think ultimately Fine Gael will take it.
We have 20% of the vote there, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, 10 for...
21.7.
Yeah, 21.7. So, I mean, it'd be very disappointing if he didn't take his
seat. Well, this is one of the examples we talked about earlier. Anne Rabbitt going out will probably, in this instance, the reverse of what we see in Donegal. Anne Rabbitt going out will probably save Fine Gael the seat.
It's more of the, it's a knockout territory. Bertie, I wanted to ask you about Wicklow and the fortunes in particular of Stephen Donnelly. And in this context, really, Fianna Fáil took those two big spending portfolios to put the shoulder to the wheel, they said, and show that they meant serious business on health and housing to reform things. Now, arguably in the campaign, the housing issue, as Francis has said earlier, is much more prevalent in the debate because it's an issue that's, you know, affecting all families than health has been. And you see Dara O'Brien coming back in Malahide, topping the poll, and then Stephen Donnelly, you know, looks likely, very, very likely to lose that seat.
Yeah, I think it's different profiles, different candidates, probably different constituency basis and kind of constituency politicians as well. So that comes into play. But in fairness to Stephen, when you're standing in the Taoiseach's area, and Taoiseach's coming from another party, it's difficult. And, you know, Stephen, if there had been a convention there, Stephen, probably Casey would have got the nomination and had the local organisation well tuned up. But, you know, it depends. It's going to be a transfer game.
Do you ever think he was really seen as part of Fianna Fáil?
I think it was difficult for him in the constituency. When you have Wicklow has been notoriously difficult ground. I remember being in the middle of many arguments in Wicklow. There were kind of two halves of Wicklow. There's the what would be considered the Dublin suburb, and then when you go over the mountains and into Rathdrum and the Joe Jacob, Dick Roach sagas, but they vote fairly solidly down there, and I think the Fine Gael vote will hold up fairly good, and regardless of whether there was an independent or not. So, but Stephen, the Taoiseach, I think Stephen Donnelly has done well in health. As it happens, I think he's done well. Health wasn't a huge issue in the door. A&E has always been an issue.
Well, they're spending so much money on it.
Yeah, but I mean, it's enormous. But the trouble with health, I remember the day I was elected Taoiseach, we were spending something like 7 billion. And the day I left, we were spending 14. And you think we were spending nothing.
Yeah.
And now it's 24 or something.
4 billion.
And it just goes and goes. But I think the transfers, he'll be pushed, but the transfers will make a big, you know, call on it. But I think Fine Gael would probably be fairly solid.
Well, I think you have to look at the endorsement that the Taoiseach Simon Harris has got from the constituency. It's extraordinary. It's really a fantastic endorsement of his work in the constituency. 6,000 surplus. Now, they're at different ends of the constituency, himself and Timmins. But you would expect, and he's also done a lot of work to get Timmins elected. He's also given a letter, you know, asking for support for him and so on in order to get the two seats. And he'd be very disappointed if we didn't get the two seats there. And you'd have to imagine of the 6,000 that certainly a fair proportion of them will go to Timmins. But they are different areas. So yeah. It's not as obvious as... And I also think my own sense of Stephen Donnelly, just looking at Fianna Fáil from the outside, is there's always been a sort of ambivalence about him for some reason. Maybe it's just where he came from, PD, so on. I've kind of felt that he was never kind of taken on board the same as others.
Fianna Fáil just saw him as an opportunist. He did a deal.
And he got promotion very quickly.
I think that promotion really affected him.
Noses out of joint.
We're going to look at the winners and losers and what's happening around the capital for the two big parties in a moment. But first, I'm going to go through some of our listeners' questions with Sean Defoe, the oracle of what's happening around the country. First of all, let's kick off, Sean, with Cork East. What's happening there?
Yeah, Cork East is a really interesting one. So at the moment, there is no one elected. Pat Buckley looks as though he's going to top the poll. He's near 6,900 votes at the minute on transfers. And then of the Fianna Fáil candidates, James O'Connor is the more likely, the young TD down in Youghal. Of the Fine Gaelers, Mark Staunton looks well placed to keep his father's seat, the Staunton machine sort of rolling in there. And then at the minute, in the fourth slot is Liam Quaid of the Social Democrats. You could see them picking up. Now, when we look down at the eliminations, there are still two Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil candidates in the race. Noel McCarthy of Fine Gael and Deirdre O'Brien, both based out of Fermoy. Deirdre O'Brien, the sister of the former TD, Kevin O'Keefe, a daughter of Noel O'Keefe. So you've got those to Ned O'Keefe. I'm getting my nose and my nails mixed up. So you're getting those to wrap in there. So I wouldn't be 100%. There's an outside chance that a government TD could get ahead of Liam Quaid there on the transfers. There's a lot of Fermoy votes, and I've kind of always thought there would be a TD in the north of the constituency. You've got three lined up at the minute: Noel McCarthy of Fine Gael, Deirdre O'Brien of Fianna Fáil, and William O'Leary, former Fianna Fáil, running as an independent also in Fermoy. So they're all to wrap in together and could be what keeps Liam Quaid of the Sock Dems out of a seat.
Okay, and another question from a listener on Roscommon Galway. What do you think is going to happen there, Sean?
Roscommon Galway actually looks pretty cut and dry. So Michael Fitzmaurice is already elected. He has topped the poll. Claire Curran is going to be elected and returned to the Dáil as Sinn Féin TD. And then it'll probably be Dr. Martin Daly, the Fianna Fáil candidate, the team doctor for the Roscommon football team. Eugene Murphy, the former Fianna Fáil senator who left, didn't do too well. He is going to go out of the race and probably elect Martin Daly ahead of any Fine Gael candidate. Of course, a weird constituency for Fine Gael, very tragically. John Nocton, the brother of Dennis Nocton, passed away a couple of weeks before the campaign. He would have been pretty nailed on to take a seat. Instead, it's Fianna Fáil.
Bertie and Francis, I'll come to you now because one of the things going into this election was a kind of difference between how the parties might fare in the capital. There was a sense that Fine Gael would do really well in those urban areas and that Fianna Fáil not so much. Francis, let's kick off with you. How do Fine Gael...
Dublin is, it's very interesting for Fine Gael, despite the predictions overall about, you know, the challenge for Simon Harris, what would actually happen. And you take...
But I think there was a more positive sense about them
in Dublin. Yeah, Dublin is always sort of seen as the... I think the polls generally were pretty good and, you know, they were better in Dublin than some other areas, although they did change fairly dramatically over the course of the campaign and then come back again. In Dublin, there's very good results, actually. There's two constituencies, I think it is, Sean, isn't it? Two with two.
You've got the two South Dublin ones.
In Dublin Rathdown and the enrichment. And then you have Dunleary, tremendous performance there by Jennifer, and also by Barry Ward. So two twos there. And then in every other constituency, there's, you know, we start with Dublin Bay North, you've Nisha. Great poll-topping performance by James Gagan, of course, Lord Mayor, and a very good campaign. And Emma, I think, is still somewhat in contention.
She's still in there.
She's still floating there around. She's at the fourth seat. It's hard to see her getting in there and overtaking
because
you've got Hazel Chew going out. Those votes will go left, but she's hanging around there.
She's hanging around there. And Dublin Central, Pascal, of course. Alan Farrell, one of the... the only loss, I think, of a sitting TD in Fine Gael.
That was a big surprise.
It went down to three, didn't it?
But he's still actually in the race. It is at the minute...
So it's Dara,
You have Dara O'Brien, and at the moment, so it's kind of a three-way race. They're all within 300 votes of each other. Anne Graves, Duncan Smith.
He may not lose it then. Somebody said he was...
I think he is going to lose it. So when you look at the ones to go out, there's still a good Soc Dem, 4,000 Soc Dem votes, and the Independent for Change candidate, and they'll probably elect Anne Graves.
Very, very hard-working TD, but the reduction in seats can really catch you.
So what do you make...
You're going to get a text from Fine Gael HQ because they aren't conceding that.
Okay, I better rapidly say, like, Alan, do forgive me.
It's still
he's a fantastic, hardworking TD. The drop in seats, though, very challenging. Yeah. Okay, please forgive me, Fine Gael headquarters.
So you can redeem yourself, Francis.
And now Grace Boland, can I say, in with a very good chance.
But still not, there's a recount going on there.
Yes, let me say she'll get that seat Midwest, Eimear Higgins, definitely elected. And Vicky Cassidy, a fantastic disability advocate, still in there. But the two to go out are from Clondalkin. Vicky is Lucan. That may tell against her. So we just have to see there. Noel Rock ran a very good campaign, but tough call.
So it's him and Paul McAuliffe, one or the other.
Yes.
Noel Rock is a good example where I think it was always to him and Paul McAuliffe had this kind of ongoing duel in that constituency. And fairness, Noel only came back into the race about 6 weeks ago. But he's the type of candidate who, if Fine Gael had got to where they were in the polls, 23-24%, he had a very, very good shot at that. But when they're back down at 20-21%, he was always going to be just short. And that's the difference of those couple of percent. That's
so what, is Paul McAuliffe safe in your
opinion? Paul McAuliffe will be back, Rory Ahern, interestingly, will take a seat there in place of Roisin Shortall. Right.
Then you have Dublin Rathdown, where there was some question whether we take the two, but we've managed to keep the two there. Maeve O'Connell and Neil Richmond, really great result for both of them. Senator Mary Seary-Carney, Dublin South Central. I mean, tough constituency. South West, Colin Brophy and Sarah Barnes. That's Monica Barnes' daughter, who very well known. A wonderful woman who represented Fine Gael for many years, fantastic on equality. Sarah actually had the unfortunate accident during the campaign. She was on a bus that stopped suddenly and she has been going around in a wheelchair ever since. So imagine, that's very tough. Dublin West, Eimear Curry got to run on her own and has taken the seat. And then, as I said, Dunleary is Jennifer Carl McNeill and Barry Ward. So I think it's overall, it is a very good result in
what's
the capital.
So what's the figure in the capital then? Or have you done your sums yet? Or can leave and come
in
back?
In terms of the numbers of seats, I think 10, two constituencies where we won't have representation. That looks fairly clear to me. And then there's Alan Farrell, yet to be decided, let me say.
But still hopeful. Via Fine Gael HQ. Bertie, you know, again, Fianna Fáil going into this election, a lot of people would have thought they were going to fearful that they might do badly. How does this shape up for them in the capital?
Yeah, I think very good. Headquarters and the director of elections himself, who went 2,000 over the quota.
Jack Chambers.
Jack. Yeah. So that was a really good vote. And Darragh O'Brien, of course, his best vote ever in the Malahide Port Marnock area in that three-seater. Brabazon to be elected, Raheny based okay. on Tariff. Paul McCall.
Deirdre Heaney won't make it.
No, unfortunately for Deirdre, once again.
She ran a good campaign.
But actually, there is a chance of a Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil bonus there, where a lot of people thought the 50 was going to with the independent Barry Heenahan. But you have Deirdre Heaney and Aoife Tormey are the two next candidates at the minute. So one could elect the
Barry
other.
Heenahan. You're responsible for Barry Heenahan.
Yes.
Yeah, but would that be a Fine Gael game?
At the moment, actually, Deirdre Heaney's marginally ahead by 200 votes.
Yeah. A strong candidate as well. And well,
that would be a good pick up from yesterday then. Yes. It looked as if it was Brabazon.
Sorry, Bertie. Well,
Brabazon's absolutely going to take a seat. Yeah, he's and so will Nisha Murray. And then there's like a fifth.
Paul McAuliffe is a good victory because that is a three-seater. And the boundary change was very significant in that area. As it happens, Deirdre Heaney lost about 1,000 votes at least in the Artane Beaumont area. Which was an advantage for Paul McAuliffe. So it was two Fianna Fáilers running together. Sean Lahart was safely elected and his running mate did very well as well. Seamus Brennan's son.
Shay Brennan, yeah.
Shay will, I'm not sure, that'll depend on today. I don't know what way you're calling that.
Yeah, I'm calling that for him.
So that's, again, that Jim O'Callaghan, I think you're calling that for Jim.
He'll be in.
And then Moynihan, I think, I'm not sure where that is over.
Yeah, he should be. He's not there yet, but I think he'll get there.
So overall, I think far better than they thought of. They've picked up.
And outside right in those commuter areas there, they've picked up a few.
In the commuter, I suppose in North County didn't go quite as we hoped. We thought Clifford Dave might make it. Ran a good campaign. Very good campaign, but unfortunately, three-seater makes it tough.
There is a recount on there.
And into Mead, where Cassells was gone, but Aisling Dempsey was elected last night. I think she's...
That's a big one for Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, Aisling Dempsey, because that was a very competitive three-seater.
Yeah.
Into Kildare, I think as I went to bed last night, we still had a chance of getting two in Kildare. So... And then, of course, Wicklow we've talked about. So,
Can I ask you about Dublin South Central? Because Sean was saying that that's a very...
Yeah, Catherine Arda is still there, but it's very competitive. Sinn Féin's transfer system there, they ran three. Dathaoir Doolan came in. Dathaoir has been around for a long time. He came in very late into the campaign. May not get elected, but he might be responsible for getting the second seat for Sinn Féin. Catherine Arda, I'd love to see her get that seat and her dad held for so long. But it's very competitive. As I read it last night, there's still about six or seven candidates who could actually get the seat there. So I'm not sure, Sean, what your final call
is. This is the one constituency I had so much trouble in advance calling it, and I still don't. I think there will be two Sinn Féin seats there. Angus O'Snoddy had 17,000 votes to himself last time around. He's balanced that really well. It's dropped quite a bit, actually. Dropped by 30% down to about 1,200.
But in fairness, he canvassed extensively for his running mate. So fairness to Sinn Féin vote management in that area.
It's amazing.
Have to give it to them, you know.
Well, the Sinn Féin vote as a whole there is about 12,000 votes and they will get a second, I think, probably Maura Devine at the minute over Dathaoir Doolan. But then, I mean, look, you have Hazel de Nortoon of People Before Profit, Jen Cummins from the Social Democrats, Mary Siri Carney and Joan Collins, all within a couple of hundred votes of each other for two seats. Dara Moriarty of Labour is probably on the outside looking in, and the outgoing Green TD, Patrick Costello, going to lose his seat there. So Joan Collins is in a bit of trouble of losing her seat, but very hard to call where that's going to go.
Kevin, before we leave the constituencies, Donegal is one of those ones that we've all been kind of looking at to see how it will go between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in terms of the transfers, and also Sinn Féin. Did they manage their vote well there?
Well, Sinn Féin are certain of two. Could they have taken three? I think that's probably something they'll debate afterwards. Pierce Doherty just brings in a huge vote, like almost 19,000 first preferences, which is a phenomenal amount of votes. But Padraig McLaughlin up there with, 13,000 as well. So like they have a massive vote in Donegal. There's no doubt about that. I mean, the story of Donegal in some ways is is what's going to happen with Fianna Fáil, because Pat the Cope Gallagher, 76 years of age, snuffed out last time by the young pretender in Charlie McConlogue, and back. And he is getting in, and Charlie McConlogue will be the one fighting for it. Fine Gael, look, Joe McHugh, the Fine Gael vote is down, I think, something like 20%, Francis,
yes,
there.
It's a very tough one. I mean, clearly, I mean, Joe McHugh decided not to run and to become sort of semi-independent, I suppose, before the actual vote. Senator Nicky Bradley and John McNulty. I mean, I think for Fine Gael, there's a big rethink needed about Donegal. There's a lot of work to do. Yeah. And of course, there's a percentage of votes there. But what is the total percentage? At the moment, it's low for us, isn't it?
It is.
Nine.
Yes, yeah. I mean, that's extraordinary, you know. So, I mean, obviously, all of the issues up there were so intense and difficult. And there's another point about some of our candidates as well, say Nicky Bradley, for example, there, and even John. They had very short period to, you know, run into an election, get a campaign going. And that was a feature for Fine Gael, with so many new, and quite a few people came in, you know, relatively late. Mm-hmm. So it can be very
hard. But to that point in Donegal, Francis, I mean, Joe had indicated long ago.
Oh, he had.
How was it? They knew that vacancy was there. This wasn't a kind of a Damien English thing.
No, it was hard to get the candidates, and it was hard. And of course, we've always had Diddy McGinley, for example, for decades there.
Donegal is a bit of a republic, as you know, Mandy. You spend a lot of time up there. It's a bit of a republic unto itself. And they often go, we see this in referendums, they go against the national trend and whatever. The MICA issue up there was huge. And the government representatives got a huge bashing over that. And as it turned out, Charlie McConlogue was the only government representative on the ticket, if you like. Pat the Cope Gallagher obviously not being in the Dáil. So the MICA candidate, the 100% redress candidate, is in for the last seat, as is Thomas Pringle. And it's going to play out between McConlogue and those two for the last seat there. So Francis is right. I mean, that now is a massive black hole for Fine Gael.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, it's a very unfortunate video from the Fine Gael candidate, an interview that she did, I think, with Highland Radio up there.
Claiming that Donegal is too negative.
Yeah, a county. Yeah, so it's not going to do her many favours up there. And by the way, it's not a negative county.
It should be mentioned, but Charlie McConlogue, because he was in the cabinet, I think people from outside of Donegal would say that the deal that they got for the MICA candidate, who we've all a lot of sympathy for, was a very good deal.
Well, what about Pat the Cope, Bertie?
Pat the Cope, I'm regularly in touch with Pat the Cope, because Pat the Cope will be on as if he was a minister, and not just the TD. Pat would be following up things, chasing things on about
the ground.
Contacts, and he has never stopped. And
I don't want to
a young man at 76.
As I look at the two of you sitting over there, I don't want to age you, right? So don't take this the wrong way, please.
Oh,
where is this going?
I'm
glad I'm sitting in the middle.
We won't.
But if Simon has new energy, you have old energy, right? But at 76 years of age, why would you want to be going back up and down that road from Donegal to Leinster House?
Well, Pat the Cope used to always tell me when he got into his house in Dunglow, and when he drove 100 miles, he was still in Donegal. He used to always remind me of that.
I used to feel like that about Enda Kenny, like when he was going back to Mayo. You sort of think, my God, the demands for... And Mary Coughlin, indeed, with two young children from Donegal.
And you just zipping out across
Dublin
the Phoenix
Park. Dublin is relatively easy, you know. You sort of, any constituency in Dublin is
Kevin,
easy to travel in and out to Leinster House.
You never know, you might see this old energy across the table on the hustings for some time in the future.
Well, we have another election next year, of course.
Still with me are Francis Fitzgerald, Kevin Doyle and Bertie Ahern. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about winners and losers, celebrity candidates and making some predictions for what might happen at the end of the day. And we also hope to get the first count from Kildare North during this section of the programme. Kevin, let's start with you. You've been looking at losers in today's Sunday Independent.
Yeah, I was trying to compile a kind of a list of the names or the constituencies where people would have some recognition, even if it doesn't materially affect them. I'm not going to go through all the Greens because it's
too many.
Well, that would take up the rest of your slot, Mandy, if I'm honest. But let's start with Claire Daly and Mick Wallace. Claire Daly moved into Dublin Central, which raised a lot of eyebrows. She basically said she was going to be the flag bearer for the Tony Gregory legacy. Now, we know we've already talked about how Dublin Central was such a competitive constituency, but I think to finish 11th on the ticket with just over 1,500 votes for Claire Daly is something I'm a bit stunned at, to be honest.
Bertie, were you surprised by that?
I was surprised that she was that far down, but the difficulty coming into a very competitive constituency so late is a real problem.
Yeah. And then her colleague in Independence for Change, and the two of them obviously have spent the last 5 years in Brussels before losing their seats in June. To lose two elections in a year like that on a personal level must be tough. But Mick Wallace down in Wexford, 1,600 votes, came ninth in the four-seater. Just to give context of that, Verona Murphy, who topped the poll, had over 11,000, and Mick Wallace used to be a poll topper down there.
Francis,
quite interesting. Yeah. You begin to wonder if their positioning in Europe actually got through to the Irish electorate, and that sense of identification with odd regimes.
Yes.
And there was, you know, there wasn't huge publicity about it, but I think the Irish public, you know, really kind of saw that. But interestingly, Mick in the European, I got several, many thousands of votes, but not in
Something about that international stance that he takes when it comes to representing that constituency. They just don't want it.
I think the public were disillusioned with the positioning they took. I mean, I was constantly being asked, you know, why were they supporting the regimes that they were supporting in Brussels?
Anyone else?
So another name worth mentioning is probably Kate O'Connell, who broke away from Fine Gael in Dublin Bay South at the time.
How did she fare?
Pretty badly, to be honest. So she broke away, said she wouldn't be a sweeper for James Gagan, the Lord Mayor who's getting in, has topped the poll for Fine Gael. But what's more interesting is that actually Emma Blaine, the Fine Gael councillor who ran in place, got double her vote. So I think it was a very poor showing for Kate O'Connell there as an independent. If we stick with Fine Gael, look at Kerry. They had a celebrity candidate of sorts down there in the form of Billy O'Shea. Now, there is going to be an inquest in Fine Gael into this one, because there is no good way of spinning this. There were three councillors locally who wanted to run. One of those councillors was a relation of Brendan Griffin, who was the outgoing TD and former minister. Headquarters were dispatched. Alwyn Enman went down, told them, sort this out, lads. We want the former footballer on the ticket. It's worked in the past. It hasn't worked this time. And that, for Fine Gael, I think is going to be one of the ones that will be poured over. And I think there'll be a backlash locally on that one.
Mm. I think it was very tough. And as you say, particularly the Brendan Griffin sort of situation, young man who decided not to continue in politics, good local councillors. And then we had the celebrity candidate. I think a feature of this election seems to have been that those celebrity names just didn't make it through.
Why do you think they work in Europe, but not in the general election?
The constituencies are so massive in Europe, and particularly now from this summer, it's even bigger, Francis, than when you were in. Like, it's a massive, massive area, and there's no possibility of getting around your European constituency. So you're trying to run in a constituency that covers half of Ireland. So if you haven't got name recognition, it's nearly impossible.
And celebrity candidates in general, Francis, like, do you think that they're just something that Ireland will never kind of take to? We see the Monk, obviously, is kind of quasi celebrity candidate. GAA stars kind of sometimes do well.
Very local, even if you're talking about Hutch. You know, it's always very local. I mean, I do think, you know, coming into a constituency, you know, and particularly if you haven't got the time to really prepare and get to know it, and you make elementary mistakes. Like, I think Groyne made some, you know, some very elementary mistakes in terms of her positioning.
If there's a case study for how it doesn't work, it is Galway West, because Eamon O'Queeve retired. That is as safe as houses Fianna Fáil seat forever and ever and ever. Even in the worst of days, that seat has survived for Fianna Fáil. And a name like Grainne Shoiga, that's known all over the country, and yet it's the local councillor who manages to be way... I mean, she did incredibly badly, it has to be said, I think.
Listen, I'm conscious that we might have to go to Kildare North very soon, and I don't want to let any of you go without getting some predictions. So, Bertie, what are you going to say will happen by the close of business today?
Well, I think you have to remind people again that as the number of seats differs between 2020, which was 160, and now 174.
So we got that increase, yeah.
You have to use the percentage share of seats now to compare it. So that comparison is the Fianna Fáil would start with 41. I think they'll now go to 46. Sinn Féin would have 40. I think they might go either plus one or minus one. And Fine Gael would have 38. And I think maybe they go 39, 40.
Francis?
Yeah, I think Fine Gael, I mean, we do have to be careful because, as we've seen in the discussion, the transfer.
They're texting you while you're on air, so you need to be very careful.
So much. Yeah, no, they haven't actually. Despite Kevin upbraiding me for not going by Fine Gael's instructions.
No, I like the honesty, Francis. I'm in fair. I was praising you for your honesty.
Sorry, I interrupted you there. I'm sorry,
but,
Francis.
Yes, where were we?
You were talking about Fine Gael's predicted seat.
Yes, I think that. To me, like, there's quite a few seats that you just don't know how they're finally going to play out. So, I mean, the range appears to be something from 38 to 41. Fianna Fáil, well, Bertie would be the expert on that, but I wouldn't disagree with what he said, you know, 45 potentially. And then, Sinn Féin 40, and then 9 and 9, it seems to be for the Social Democrats and Labour.
Kevin.
So I think you're probably going to end up with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael ending up on 85-ish. So a few seats short of the overall majority. And from there, then they will have big decisions to make. And look, it's pretty obvious what happens here. There'll be a lot of dancing and speed dating going on for the next few weeks. But ultimately, Simon Harris and Micheál Martin will have to go into a room and they will decide the shape of the next government. And that's pretty clear at this stage.
And is that a difficult process, Bertie? Like, what are you actually doing on the Sunday? Do you wait for people to ring you? Do you send your people out into the world? Do you wait for Monday till everything's absolutely finished? What do you do?
No, I think the week will probably drift through. In fairness to both Micheál and Simon and all the other candidates too, and we should wish them all well, and people who've lost in particular, because they've got up this and today, and it's hard on them.
Yeah,
it's
been, but very hard. People sometimes forget that.
I think
in public,
you need a week, and they're probably better off not to be making big decisions for a week. I heard Micheál saying yesterday he averaged 4.5 hours sleep for a month, and I'm sure Simon is the same, and others are the same. Mary Lou, I'm sure they're all the same. So, a week, leave the parliamentary parties meet. Let Kevin write all the editorial about what they should do and shouldn't do, and then all these meetings will take place. I think they've all said the left have to all have meetings, and so that can drift on. And then on the second week, I think Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael will have to start getting serious and looking around. But you know, I think it's not difficult this time, to be honest.
I
think there are plenty. The big decision, it just cut to the chase when we get to Christmas Eve. Other than walking down Grafton Street or whatever they'll do, or down in Cork or wherever it is, Greystones, will Labour be interested? Question mark. I don't know the answer to that. And if they are, Labour would probably be definitely part of the equation. If they're not, and I'd understand either way, then you look at the Michael Lowry group of independents, rural independents, and or because if you want to get a safe group, I bought in the Greens one time to get a safer group. You also look at the five, what probably will be five, independent Ireland group.
I think they'll be appointing the negotiating teams. I mean, there will be negotiating teams, and of course the manifestos will, you know.
Francis, I'm very sorry to cut across you there, but it looks like we're going to Kildare North now for the first count. It's a 5-seat constituency, and we're going to have lots more of these as the day goes on, but we're expecting the count right now. Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. No. Yeah, it's the returning officer is lurking around the podium, but he's here with us now.
Shotara on Cade Korov, the Dáil Chountar Kildare Huey. The first count has been completed for Kildare North, and the following are the results. Total electorate 95,055. 95055. Total poll 57,386. 57386. Invalid ballot papers 357. 357. Valid poll 57,029. 57029. Number of seats to be filled, 5. The quota is 9,500. 505. The following is the result of count one. Carul, Nisha, O, Fianna Fáil, 5,872. 5872. Clear, Bill, non-party, 2,906. 2906. Corcoran, Avril, the Irish people, 533, 533. Cronin, Rada, Sinn Féin, 6,806, 6806. Durkin, Bernard, Fine Gael, 4,632. 4632. Farrelly, Aidan, Social Democrats, 7,611. 7611. Feeney, Angela, the Labour Party, 3,337. 3337. Gil Sean, Centre Party of Ireland, 67, 67. Hogan Caroline, Sinn Féin, 1,244, 1,244. Lawless James, Fianna Fáil, 8,734, 8,734. Martin Vincent P, Green Party, Coventus Glas, 2,059. 2,059. Neville Joe, Fine Gael, 5,533. 5,533. O'Connor Una, Aon 2, 2,174, 2,174. Salmon Evie, Fine Gael, 3,111, 3,111. Waters Jerry, Irish Freedom Party, IFP, 1,254, 1,254. Whelan Leah, People Before Profit Solidarity, 1,156. No candidate has reached the quota on this count. As there is no surplus for distribution, I will now exclude the lowest candidates and distribute their votes. They are Sean Gill, 67 votes, and Avril Corcoran, 533 votes. Thank you.
Election 2024 on News Talk.